Good Sunday morning, everyone. I know you're at home, nice and warm, and we are going to look into God's Word for a few minutes this morning and just give us something to grow on for today. If you're sitting back and you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. If we had the title of this message, anything would be, O Wounds That Have Not Healed. Old Wounds That Have Not Healed. So Paul is addressing the church on how to live this Christian life they have been called to and get along with one another. And that's one of the things in the church life we have to really consider all the time, is how do we get along when we're wired so differently? Then God didn't make us all just alike. And sometimes we say and do things that offend others, and a lot of times other people say and do things that offend us. And so how do we just deal with that? And Paul gives us some insights, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Paul writes this to the church. He says, so, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that even in a time that we have ice and snow or freezing roads, Lord, or just varying cold temperatures, that you're there with us. And God, thank you for the ability to go into homes even this morning and break your word out for us. God, there's someone that needs to hear this message today. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move freely wherever we are hearing this message, in Christ's name. Amen. So Paul is addressing this to the church. He says it in that first verse there in verse 12. He says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So now Paul is not writing to people who are outside the church. He's not speaking to the lost people. He's speaking to the saved people, those who are in Christ. He's addressing this to teach us how to live out this calling he's put upon our life, and how to just get along with one another. And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we don't get it right. So he's addressing this to the church. He says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, you can underline that word, gentleness, and patience. So in life, listen, we interact with others. We interact with people at work. We interact with people in our family, interact with people at school. You've had to interact with some folks there at probably at one of the local stores trying to get supplies for this weekend. So we interact with others, and especially here at church, we find a lot of times when we work together, there's things that happen. I mean, when you're working with someone who's not wired exactly like you and your personality is a little different than their personality, you find that oftentimes there'll be times that you have disagreement. Sometimes it's clashes. Sometimes we do things and say things we wish we wouldn't have. So in life, we interact with others, and certainly we're going to have some unpleasant exchanges, some confrontations with them. And being real, we have to own our part in it, that sometimes we say and do things that hurts others, and other times they do say and do things that hurt us. Sadly, sometimes those unpleasant exchanges are done in spite, to spite someone, to hurt them intentionally. We've probably done that. We got angry about something and we said it, and we wanted to hurt them with our words, maybe with our actions. We wanted to get back at them. Even as Christians, we're sometimes imperfect that way. And other people do the same things, and sometimes it's drastic what they do. People do things intentionally. Intentionally to hurt you, to hurt me, out of their own selfishness, out of their jealousy. Sometimes it's pride, sometimes it's envy. Whatever dysfunctional virtue they are operating at the time, they caused you pain. Man, that's tough to deal with. It's difficult at work or in your family, and it's difficult even in the church life, is that there's someone who you love and someone who you have to get along with every day or try to get along with to know that they're intentionally sabotaging you or intentionally trying to hurt you. Sometimes we look at our own life, we look at our own behavior and we say, well, man, you know, I'm working, I'm in the scripture, I'm trying to be compassionate, I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit lead me, and I want to be kind and humble and gentle and patient. Gifts of the Spirit, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit. We're really trying to allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, but there are sometimes people want to clog up that drain that we have going to them, that conduit of love for them. Sometimes people make that difficult, especially when they treat us unfairly. Verse 4:13 says this, that we are to bear with one another, bearing with one another. That's an ongoing word. That's not just one time, but that's an ongoing thing. Bearing with one another and graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. That's a big one. So even though we're saved in Christ Jesus, man, even though we're abiding, allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be exhibited in our character, sometimes we still find that the grace of forgiveness is often difficult to give to others. Sometimes we have a hard time with that. When they've done something intentionally to hurt us, hurt our family, man, we have a hard time with completing that understanding of the Lord living in us and the Spirit flowing through us and living and reaching out into the lives of others. We know we're called to forgive. We even know that someone doesn't have to apologize to us to forgive them. They don't even have to be sorry or remorseful, regretful. They don't have to be repentant for us to forgive them. Because forgiveness is really in our corner. We know that forgiveness is a choice. We know that we should forgive them, and it is a choice beyond an emotion. The emotions will eventually catch up with the choice. We know that. We know it. We know that we're to forgive because God in Christ has forgiven us. We know that we are to forgive because Christ has forgiven us. That's the most important thing. And we know that as long as we do not forgive someone, they hold power over us in our mind and our attitude, our actions, our behaviors. When we fail to forgive someone, we know we're giving them power over us to dictate to us how we act and react. Often said many times that we have a story to live and we're writing the story of our life. And when we're writing the story of our life and we fail to forgive someone, they're taking the pen from our hands and writing the story for us. And that's somewhat realistic. See, we know what we have to do, but it doesn't make it any easier. Martin and Becky were friends. They worked together at the same office, day in and day out. One day, Martin expressed to his insights about some situation going on in the office. He mentioned that to Becky. Trusting Becky as a loyal friend, trusting her, that it would stay there in the office among them. Without Martin's knowledge or consent, Becky goes to report to the boss what Martin had said. And she actually took his words out of context. She put her own little twist in his words. And it made Martin look disloyal, and it made him look ambitious for more than his position. It made him look ambitious for the boss's position. A couple of days later, the boss called a meeting for all the office employees. HR got involved. The meeting that was called was due to this false information that Becky gave about Martin and what he thought about some situations in the company. And there in front of everyone in that meeting, Martin was called out. And Becky sat there. Martin knew that it had to come from her because she's the only person that he had told. No one else knew. No one else heard. He was called out and he was reprimanded there in front of all these people for his comments. Even though Becky had misrepresented them. Martin took the reprimand. He was a Christian. It was embarrassing to him to be pointed out in front of everybody. But the disloyalty of his friend, that hurt. Martin was a Christian knowing that at some point he would need to forgive Becky. He probably wasn't there just yet. But he would need to forgive her and move on. So he had the head knowledge of it, and it was getting down to his emotions. He knew what he needed to do. Martin, as a Christian, sought the Lord. Man, he began to pray, God, help me forgive. Lord, if I did anything wrong, and you know, going before God and just pleading his case. Man, he bathed the situation in Scripture. He got in the Scripture about forgiveness and trying to understand how someone could betray him like that. He was trying to put it all together. He even put a smile on his face when he would go to work like nothing ever happened. He would see her and see the others that were there in the meeting, and he went on about his business. He was even cordial to them. He was going to fake the joy until it was genuine. Sounds like us as Christians a lot of times. We'll fake it till we make it, so to speak. We put on a smiley face, but inside we're still dying, still angry, still brewing in there. So over time, Martin felt like the situation, all the frustrations and everything had been lifted. He was enjoying his job again. He was back doing things as normal. He wasn't quite the friend he wanted to be with Becky anymore. But he felt that weight was lifted off of him, that he genuinely had made the decision to forgive, and he forgave her. Until about a year later, another person from work brought to Martin's attention what Becky had said a year before. At that moment, it's as if someone had taken the scab off an old wound and just began to pull. And it seemed like it had just cut across that wound that had not finished healing yet. All those old feelings started to resurface, the frustration, the anger, because Martin realized that all he had done was bury. Just to save face, he rushed trying to heal, and he wasn't healed yet. He rushed things. You see, even though Martin had been proactive in his prayer, he'd been in the Word and telling himself he forgave Becky, Martin had only buried that old wound that had not completely healed. He thought he had peace, but he had only procrastinated the healing in his pain. Martin thought he was enjoying freedom, but he had only entombed the frustration. Martin assumed that he had graciously forgave, but actually he was only in self-preservation. Pride had hardened his heart to think that he was somehow a little bit better than Becky because he didn't act like that and he wouldn't have treated someone like that. That moment, Martin realized that he had buried all that resentment silently away, just kind of swept it under the rug, so to speak. So everything would just kind of go back to normal. There would be peace, or so he thought. But that moment that other co-worker had mentioned what Becky had done, it all came back. And he realized something. Even though he had done all these right things that he thought, he had never humbly, we see that word in the scripture, verse 12, all humility. He had not humbled himself there before God for forgiveness. Forgiveness that he needed. And the forgiveness that he needed to extend out to Becky. He just kind of washed over it until he felt better. And sometimes Christians, we do that. Sometimes we just want to feel better. We don't want to resolve the issue. We really don't want to get down to the nuts and bolts of the matter. For true healing to take place, we just want peace on the surface. But we're dying inside. We just want better things at the workplace. We just want things in church to settle out. We just want some quiet in the family, so to speak. We never allow God to finish the healing process. You see, anytime we deal with forgiveness and unforgiveness, anytime we deal with grace, God is showing us something about us. So we think it's all about forgiving them, but sometimes God is taking his word and putting it right in front of us like a mirror to show us there's some things in us that we thought we were that we weren't. Martin never thought himself to be a proud person. Martin never thought himself that he never humbled himself before God. So even a year later, he still had that old wound that he thought had been healed. And all it was resentment going toward hatred. So Martin now was face to face with the reality of what he had become. Martin repented before the Lord and truly released all of that ugly stuff that was corroding his soul when he fell before the Lord that day. He realized he failed to truly forgive. He was just wanting everything to look right. And sometimes Christians, that's what we do. There's some old wounds in our soul that may have been there 10, 15, 20 years. We've just kind of moved past it. We've kind of numbed ourselves, desensitized ourselves to it, rather than really allowing God to get down to that innermost part of our being and dig out that stuff. That's the scary part, because sometimes we're not going to like what we see about ourselves. See, we've made all of our pain, all of our hurt about somebody else, rather than allowing God to use that pain, use that hurt to show us something here. See, it's easier to deal with others than deal with ourselves. Because when God's word begins to deal with us, it begins to pull back all those layers we have built up, and it gets to the very core of our being and begins to unearth all those things we kept buried for years. It's what we need, church. Allow God to heal those old wounds. Verse 14 and 15 says, above all these things, put on love, which is perfect. How can we put on God's perfect love? Truly, I don't mean surface level. I don't mean a little smile on Sunday. I mean from the very core of our being. How can we put on God's love if we won't let God heal the very core of us? He says, above all these things, put on love, which is perfect bond of unity. Why there's no unity in family or unity in our churches? It's because we need to let God's word reflect into us, allow the Holy Spirit to dig into us, to show us those things that we don't really want to see about ourselves, and allow God's love to heal that part of us. And then we truly have unity with one another. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule. That's genuine peace. A peace that we have with ourselves because Christ has healed us, he's forgiven us, and a peace that we can have with others because his grace, his peace that is flowing into us because a conduit to the grace and peace we have for others. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, the love of Christ. He says, and be thankful. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what bonds us in unity. Man, we all have those times. We're going to have them that we don't agree. But remember, it is Christ who holds us in unity, even when we're not totally on the same page in agreement. Man, when we forgive others because we genuinely have allowed God to heal those wounds, man, there's a bond that's created among the people of God that the gates of hell won't prevail against. Why? Because Christ is in charge of it, not us. Christ is in charge. And you want peace? Peace of mind in Christ Jesus. It will rule in our hearts. Because of Jesus, we can be thankful in whatever situation we're in. Verse 16 and 17, we're closing. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness. he said thankfulness just a moment ago, and he said gratefulness in our hearts to God, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We encourage one another with God's word. And listen, the more we get into God's word, the more God's word gets into us. And it's amazing what he does with all those things in our life. When we immerse ourselves, allow the word and the power of the Spirit to work out those things in us. You want true revival? That's where true revival hits, is when we humbly submit ourselves before him for him to make a change in us. We're too often worried about what God making a change in somebody else. What about us? Man, the altars of a church should be full, because I don't know about you, but there's not a week that goes by that I don't need something that God just to cleanse me from, to take away from me. And oftentimes, we just bury it. Just bury it. May today you allow the Holy Spirit of God to do a refining work in you, like a refiner's fire, burning out the impurities for the pure gold to be there. Listen, Christ wants you to be pure gold for him. He wants to do a refining work in your life, purifying you, your character, your soul, everything about you. He wants to do his work in you. Would you let him? For God wants to do that work for his glory and for your good. Oh, wounds that we simply buried, and nothing that we have done to allow God to really do the healing process. Let me pray for you, and we'll be gone. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for the words of Paul writing to the church, reminding us, God, that we are to forgive one another. And God, all things that you allow happen have a lesson for us to learn. Yes, sometimes we need to forgive, but God, oftentimes we just try to keep peace and we never allow your healing process just to unearth in us a true healing and a true reflection over who we are. Father, I pray today that you help your people, that you teach your people, Lord, that we are to humbly submit ourselves before you and let you do the work. We pray for your safety over us as we are going through this time, all together in this weather. In Jesus' name, amen.